here.
So mean to me. You hate me more than anything else.
That's clear, if anything, from the everything about our friendship is that I
from the business relationship that we have.
The business friendship.
What are you what are you drinking?
Whiskey Coke.
Of course you are. You already said this. We didn't have any more Coke, so I've got a vodka and strawberry bubbly.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. It's good. I love you so much. Clink.
Love you so much.
Oh my god, we're recording. You lied to me again. Just like old times.
You know I love to do it.
You evil vixen.
Yeah, that's me. I'm here to entrap you.
Oh, beans, where is us? Okay, sick. I've got my fucking notes ready.
I do too.
I have been waiting to talk about this game for 1,000 years.
I wish I had done notes like this for Dragon Age. I'm really happy that I've been doing notes. It's just much better. My brain is such cheese. It's so good. Okay. First of all, back half of this game, like Vermeier to the end.
Yeah.
Crazy good.
So fucking good. Oh my god. Isn't it so good? Like, this is the thing. When I tell you, like, the first bit of this game took me fucking forever to do because I was just not that interested. But then I hit Vermeier and then I finished it all in, like, one or two sittings. You know why, right?
Yeah, like, I know why. The thing is that, like, I think the beginning of the game is still good, but it's also because I know BioWare and I know that all of these, like, little interactions are going to feel like they pay off and, like, this kind of, like, slow world building is going to pay off. And, like, I could see the bones there. It is still kind of a slow intro.
It's the weakest.
Yeah.
It's the weakest of what we've played.
Yeah.
Of the BioWare games. Veilguard isn't a BioWare game, but
I don't even know. We don't have to talk about that. Yeah. This back half, Vermeier to the end, is fucking nonstop.
Isn't it fucking so sick? Yeah.
We get a call. Fucking, I'm heated already. I haven't even talked about it. Oh. We get a fucking call. We get a fucking call. Joker tells us that the council like patched through again and they're like, come back to the Citadel. Like, we believe you, basically. Like we want to support you. Like, you've done so much. Like, we're going to help you end this. And you're like, finally, after everything. And you get there, you fucking land, and the council fucking betrays you, immediately turns on you.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my god. Wait. Dylan, what are we doing here?
Oh,
we were too excited to talk.
I got too excited. Hello, my name's Dylan. I played one Mass Effect game.
Yeah. I remember when I played all the Mass Effect games 100 million times. Yes. This is Dorkspawn, a game where we play story games like a book club. And we're on the Mass Effect 1. We've just finished it. Dylan, please continue.
Oh my god. The council fucking betrays you immediately. These monsters. They're like, yeah, because you explain to them, you're like, yeah, it's not just Saren. I'm trying to explain to you that it is the Sovereign. The Reapers are the real problem. Saren is like a pawn of theirs and he doesn't even know that he is. And the Reapers are the ones that are gonna kill us all. And they're like, yeah, fat chance or whatever.
It's like, crazy. They're fully like, no, but Saren is just manipulating you into doing this. He's just playing the good game. And you're like, you've got to be fucking joking me right now. Like, and he's like, you did a really good job. Saren is manipulating you. He's done some weird stuff. We can't take anyone to Ilos. So, but we can figure it out from here. And you're like, what do you fucking mean? What do you mean you can take it from here? Like, this is my job. Like, I've done all of this. You don't even believe me when I say it's this main thing. It's crazy. It's infuriating.
And they ground you. They take away the Normandy's ability to literally
specifically
leave the Citadel.
Udina Counselor Udina, the human counselor, he's the one who initiates the ground of you. Yeah.
So you're stuck here on the Citadel again. And in in running around, like trying to find my fucking captain.
Yeah.
I ran into a couple of interesting people. Namely, I met the Firma guy. That's an alien racist, correct? That's a that's what that is. Terra Firma. He's like, I'm running for election at the Terra Firma party.
Yeah, very much like humans can't trust aliens, and
that's what it is.
We need to stand alone if we're gonna be
very good, because I said no thank you. I would decline to vote for you.
Walking
actually.
Around with your best friends, two aliens.
Truly.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think? before I start wandering around the Citadel, because I guess I did trigger the Caden romance. But I'm not that mad about it, because my boy was angry. After we got off the call with the council, he's like, fuck them. I cannot believe that they've turned on you like this. Like, whatever. But then I was like, yeah, no, this sucks. I need some support. And he was like, whoa. I don't want to put that. I don't want to put a label on things. And I was like, Caden, what the fuck are you talking about? I was like, wait, first of all, I didn't even ask you for this relationship. I was just nice to you one time. And then you're
it's too early to put a label on things. The label is a one night stand. Like, that's fine.
That's fine. Calm down. But then we have like a almost kiss. And then we're interrupted.
And then you get interrupted.
Because we get into the Citadel. Still, I was like, what if... am I being gaslit by Caden Malenko?
That's very funny.
And I think I was. So I find the captain. And that's my fucking captain, baby. My captain.
Yeah, Captain Anderson. Like,
oh, there's only one thing to do. And it's steal control of the Normandy and... break out of here.
Go do it.
And just go do it anyway. I couldn't tell how important this choice was, and I almost don't want to know, but I'm given a choice to like either have the captain go and
Could go into the ambassador's office and try to wrangle it from there, or he can try and sneak into the Citadel's like main control room. One is going to piss off the council. The other one is going to piss off Ambassador.
I had him go for the ambassador's computer.
I honestly could not tell you about the council. I've never done it.
Cool. So we fucking we do it. We do it. The captain breaks us out.
He fucking punches Udina in the face. Yeah, he cleans him out. It's crazy. Yeah.
And we break off planet. Joker's being a fucking badass. Like we're doing a barrel roll in, and people are like, "Are you sure you got this?" He's like, "Fuck you."
Yeah,
it's the coolest shit.
It's like they're like the odds are fucking. He's like the odds are like so impossible, because you have to hit like a moving pinprick from like 200 meters up. And he's like, well, actually, you not only have to do that, but you have to hit a moving pinprick 200 meters up on a thing you can't control. I just want to let you know how hard it's going to be when I do it. It's like, he's just the coolest dude ever.
He's
in
the
fucking
universe.
I love him. Yeah.
Oh,
and then
I love
he gets
him.
It. And I cheered. It was crazy. Yeah. Like he fully like pinpoint hits the exact target that he needs to hit.
Yeah.
And he's just like, yeah, of course it did. And the best pilot in the galaxy.
The best pilot ever.
Love him.
And then we get there. We get to Ilos or Ilos? Ilos, right?
Ilos.
Ilos. We get to Ilos. And the way into this, like, place that we have to go into is locked. We got to do a fucking break in to get in. Then it's, you know, it's a lot of shooting. It's a lot of shooting our way through a lot of.
But there's cool, weird shit. There's like these really tall humanoids that are like fused to chairs and stuff. It's a cool, there's a lot of cool visuals in this area.
Yeah. I think am I wrong in assuming that those things are Prothean like?
Yes, these are like Prothean like tech and weird shit like that. Yeah.
So we're fighting our way through, and then we find a like an old Prothean recording that's like just giving like a half message, and it's like just sputtering little things. And for Shepard is the only person that can understand it.
No one else can understand it.
My boys
saying.
Could not understand it.
Yep.
But it didn't really give us anything. It was just like saying like, you know, sentence fragments and sputtering out or whatever. Yeah. So then we keep going in. And we eventually find a VI that's damaged, but it's working. It's got like a very, its name is Vigil.
Yeah.
And gives me like tranquil vibes.
So this is a thing I briefly mentioned at some point, it was either just before we started playing this or like at some point when we were doing Dragon Age, where I was like, there is a point. There is a thing that gives me such strong spirit vibes from an AI, and it's this guy. Vigil
it's
gives
this
me
this guy
so,
right here.
I'll admit.
Oh, see, I wrote tranquil down, but I see what you mean. It is like spirit vibes too.
It's. I will admit, when I said that million episodes ago, I thought that this thing was. It looked like a person, but it doesn't. It looks like this, like sputtering. Like,
it looks just orb. Like the same as the message did, like a scene earlier.
Yeah.
It's just like a hollow thing.
But I envisioned a like a humanoid, like stood giving this dialect, and I was like, it feels just very spirit.
Yeah.
In Dragon Age to do that,
it still does to me. It's like spirits or like the tranquil or like those. It's got that vibe for sure.
But it gives a lot of really fucking fucked up and freaky information about how it's still standing. Yeah.
There's like a whole thing. So like, okay, I wrote down as many notes as I can. One, the Citadel, we might have kind of known this already. The Citadel has been the center of every civilization forever. And the whole Citadel itself is one giant mass relay.
Yeah, huge.
And that the plan is that it's going to get activated by Saren, and then all of the Reapers are going to bamf in and kill everyone from there.
And
now I wrote down in all caps a key smash about two lines long, and I told y'all that the Keepers were fucked up little guys.
Yeah, they're fucked up little guys.
Because the whole thing is the Keepers, those little things that are all around the Citadel, and they're like doing work on the Citadel, and no one's allowed to like touch or bother them or talk to them or whatever. And it's the reason why no one knows anything about how the Citadel functions, and people are just fucking using it and not questioning it because everybody's a fucking idiot. Is intentional. That's how the Reapers set it up, so that people would just be reliant on them and not look too deep into what the Citadel actually was, lest they find out that it was a mass relay and, you know, heaven forbid, do anything about that. So the Keepers are gonna be our downfall. It ends in an interesting way, this conversation. And this is like, cause they're like, you know, we're like, why do they do this? The Reapers, like, why do they want to kill everything? And Vigil is like, we don't know. And then is like, says this line that goes pretty hard, but is the worst ethos I've ever heard in a story ever, which is your survival depends on stopping them, not understanding them. I'm like, okay.
Yes. That is like a, like it goes pretty hard, but it is bad and weird. But I like the fact that that is the Protheans talking. That's not like a, it's like sure. This flawed. And also this is coming from an VI, that we understand as the only reason why it still has power is because it's been eating people. There's a, when you're driving down this really long hallway, there's like thousands and thousands of these like pods, explaining for the audience. And Vigil says that every, in all of these pods were a Prothean each. They were in cryostasis to wait out the Reaper attack. But the Reaper attack went on longer and longer. So then Vigil started turning them off one by one to like use their essence to stay powered, until there was only like a dozen Protheans left. Those Protheans, when eventually were released, were like, oh, well, we can't do anything about this. Like, everything is too far gone. So instead, what those 12 or dozen or so people did was they decided to switch off the Keeper's relay to the, from the Citadel, which is why... because originally the thing Sovereign had to do is appear, like wake up from hibernation, come in, and then essentially it could just immediately hit the Mass Effect relay, let all the Reapers know that it's go time, and then all the Reapers would shoot in. But those one dozen turned off all of the Keepers, so then the Keepers couldn't keep that relay up, so now Sovereign has to do it manually. So this message of... you don't need to understand them, you just need to beat them, is coming from a severely fucked up, like, morally evil thing. Might not even be morally evil, just very morally gray, because the only reason why you're still alive is because it did the horrific thing that it did.
It did, exactly. And this was tough. This part of the conversation would be tough for Ani, which is that... this thing survived by basically killing every other Prothean that was in cryos on this ship.
Yeah.
Except for a few top scientists.
Key members, yeah.
And Ani was like, oh, interesting. Fuck and that's you.
Also interesting because Shiv's whole background is being ruthless, and Vigil is like, well, the way I survived was by being incredibly ruthless, and it's the only way you're going to win is by doing that. So it was both for both of our characters. It was a interesting,
very interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing that was all that one conversation, right? Like that whole thing.
It is the final lore drop conversation where it's like, hey, do you want every piece of information for why everything is happening? Here you go. Also, they have some interesting things of because every Mass Effect relay was created by the Reapers, the way that the Reapers do their like mass extinction event is they just turn off all the Mass Effect relays. And then they move in so that people can't like faster than light travel anymore. And everyone is just switched off and abandoned and can't even radio out because all of their things get turned off. Which kind of, you know, it again shows because Sovereign the conversation with him says, you know, well, this is, everything is us. We have forced people into their specific paths. And I mean, you know, Captain Anderson at the beginning of the game is like, oh, well, yeah, finding the Prothean device and the Mass Effect relays, these Prothean tech is the only reason why every member of the galaxy is able to do things, because they found them and they're like, oh, space travel. Oh, my God. So exciting. And they don't question it ever. And then the Reapers are like, yeah, just like we designed. Ever. And then we turn off every single piece of tech that you've ever established and want. And then we move in and eat everyone.
And we kill everything.
Yeah.
My God. We leave, because now it's like, okay, go back. We gotta
because
go to the
now
Citadel.
It's like Sovereign is going to go turn it on manually because the only way to because it's using
Saren is Saren's gonna is, go yeah. in and do it, and then Sovereign
and then Sovereign's gonna come in and join. Yeah,
yeah. And so we leave, and big space war is happening.
Yeah, baby, love
the
it.
Citadel is
love
under
these set
attack.
Pieces. The
good
coolest.
Good little cutscene. Such a good little fucking. Yeah. Oh, a bit right there. Saren is inside the Citadel. The council has not been evacuated. There's like a little bit where it's like, get them out, but it's too late. We crash land in the Mako.
So it's so sick. There is a statue for this. Every single part of the Citadel, every single time we go, there is this big statue of a Mass Effect relay. That we always go to, and we're like, that you're like, you see several dozen times as you're playing the game, this big statue of a Mass Effect relay. Turns out, twist, it's not a statue. It is a Mass Effect relay that is just kind of there in the Citadel. You drive in the Mako and then teleport to it. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's such a cool scene. I did write down... I hope the Mako needs to get repoed.
Evil.
Because
my favorite boy
crash upside down. I come out looking fucking cool as hell. And we have a little confrontation there with Saren, who's just so stupid. He's like, yeah, I know you beat me before, but not this time because I've been given upgrades by Sovereign.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm
it's
his
so
best
fun.
Boy.
It's fun because it's not only like, yeah, he is kind of dumb, but it's mainly like you can see how deep the influence of this indoctrination has gone, where even any doubt that you had the last time you confronted Saren and he was like, no, I'm still in control and I have my mind. Any doubt that you had in this scene is dead because he's like, no, I still have my mind. He just gave me upgrades. And it's like, oh, okay, you're fucked. your brain is robot. In fact, they have just decided to make it so that you, they're like controlling every thought pattern that you have. It's very
yeah.
fun.
And yeah. you're so clearly in Stockholm syndrome, like calm down.
Yeah.
But then we start fighting him and like, he's had some
now,
upgrades.
Now, here's what's interesting. Did you fight him? Because you don't have to. He has two phases. He has a fight phase where he has one where it's just him. And then he has the one afterward where he's like a little gross little goblin guy.
Correct.
Did you fight him the first time?
I fought him the first time.
Because you can convince him that he is indoctrinated and he kills himself. You can fully convince him, like, you can prove to him that he has been 100% indoctrinated, there is no going back, he is just a toy of the
I
Reapers,
said,
and he puts the gun to his head, and, yeah,
Ooh.
He puts the gun to his head, and he kills himself right there. Yeah, it's crazy. It's cool. What's up?
No. Nothing at all. Okay. I don't remember what it was that I said, but I didn't say, I don't remember which option I said exactly, but I guess I didn't realize that I could just fucking make him end it.
You can make him kill himself. Yeah. It's sick.
That's really awesome.
It's fun. Truly, this is the first time I've ever fought him. Because every time I play this game, I've just gotten him to kill himself.
You fought him too. I fought him
as well. Yeah.
Motherfucker has had some upgrades.
Yeah.
He's like healing like
rapidly,
crazy,
fast,
like as you're shooting him.
Yeah.
It's really like intense, but then when you finally do kill him, it's so fucking good because he falls out of the sky off his little green goblin hoverboard and crashes through a glass pane window and then is stabbed by the
glass. And then is fully impaled by this giant shard of glass.
Killer.
It's sick.
I fucking love it.
No, it's really cool. There's a whole, just before we continue on with the really cool choices, there is a whole bit where there's a combat just before Saren when you're like riding in an elevator up to him, mm-hmm. and then the elevator stops and they're like, fuck, we're never going to reach him in time. And then Shepard does this like cool thing where she's like, fine, we're just going to walk then. Puts on her helmet and then shoots out the window and you're like walking up the Citadel in anti-grav, and it's so awesome.
Yeah,
it's so cool. She's the coolest woman. Yeah, and then you might say, I didn't want to get past that because I love the sequence where she like shoots out the window. Yeah.
Okay. So Joker gets a distress call that he intercepts.
Yeah.
That is like the council's escape ship is in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And Joker's like, we've got Alliance ships like about to roll in. I could send some of them to go save the council.
It's like either the council lives or essentially like a lot of ships live because you're not going to be able to split them super easily. So a lot of people are going to die, but the council will live, this like beacon of hope for the people, or the council die and the majority of the ships live.
Yeah. If you use a default world state when playing Dragon Age Inquisition and the choice mm-hmm. is between Hawk and Stroud, we call that how to kill a mustache, where you just you don't have to deliberate when making that choice. You just click because who the fuck is that guy? I've never sacrificed anyone in a video game faster than I killed that council. I mean, I didn't, there was like an option to be like, fuck the council, but I was like, no, we have to focus on Sovereign.
That was my one is like, Sovereign is the goal here. Like we have to focus on the job.
We have to get them. Hey dorks, do you like mechs? Hope punk sci-fi? Tabletop role-playing games?
Of course you do! They're three of the best things out there. If you want all these things in your life, then you have to pre-order The Broken Steps, the second setting guide for the Hope Punk sci-fi TTRPG Dreams and Machines, coming late 2025.
Set in a world in the far future, cut off from Earth, where inhabitants balance on a razor's edge, sleeping mechs decorate the landscape, and wakers, waking mechs that kill, sow the seeds of technological distrust. The Broken Steps give a detailed overview of the Surienta Simio region, including unique and exciting locations, new talents, equipments, expanded rules for mounts and vehicles, and, Robin, tell them the best part,
settlement building rules, so you can create unique, customizable communities. Pre-order The Broken Steps now, and you can get 10% off of Dreams and Machines Player's Guide and the Dreams and Machines Game Master's Guide with the code DREAMS10.
Sup, dorks?
Listen, we know you. We know you have 100 original characters floating around in your head, and you're just waiting to talk about them, but no one ever asks.
Well, what if you could have one of your favorite fictional guys on your keys?
That's right! Hero Forge is adding the ability to have your Hero Forge character created onto acrylic keychains. They'll be the same scale as Hero Forge standees, meaning there will be a perfect match for your on-table miniature.
So head on over to Hero Forge to get your characters on keychains and have everyone asking you, oh, who's that cool little guy?
Thank you, Hero Forge, for sponsoring this ad.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I'm here to tell you about Dice Exploder, a podcast where each week me and a rotating co-host take one tabletop RPG mechanic, just one mechanic, and break it down as deep as we possibly can. If you love thinking about role-playing games and how they work, this is the show for you. Come listen to me talk to Alex Roberts about love and pity, John Harper about elegance and layout, and Mikey Ham about, what else? Exploding Dice! It's an interview show, a review show, a design show, and most of all, a show for anyone who loves these games. Come on down and join us. Find Dice Exploder at DiceExploder.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And so the council, we get a little upsetting cutscene where they're like, oh my God. They've closed the comms.
It's the craziest thing as well, because it's not you doing it. It's their distress calling through Joker. They're like, please help, please help. And then Joker is like talking and then flicks the cut communication button and then keeps talking afterwards.
Yeah.
It like they interrupted him. It's crazy. It's so cold from Joker. It's awesome. Yeah. And then
Joker
you cut to the people. Joker has a job to do. And it's to be the coolest fucking pilot ever.
Of all time.
Which there is a whole cutscene where he is the coolest guy leading this like alliance fleet.
Yeah.
It's just so sick. He's so cool.
That's my fucking lad. He's so good. Then a thing I didn't like happened at all.
Oh.
You already mentioned it.
Oh, he turns into a weird gloop man.
I've never fucking hated anything so much in my life as I hated Saren getting, because, okay, this was a little hard to follow for me. Sovereign, my understanding is that Sovereign takes over Saren's body and reanimates it. Because, oh, well, we have to go. We go to the computer. Like, our goal was to get to the mainframe of
code.
The thing.
Yeah.
Upload the code that was given to us by Vigil so that we could put the original safeguards in place.
Mm-hmm.
Which apparently works. But then Sovereign's like, fuck you, no, and takes over Saren's body. And so then it's like Saren becomes
It's not necessarily that. It's that the safeguards are there to disable Sovereign enough so you have a chance at killing him. So that you can like swoop in and blow him up. Sovereign doesn't take over Saren. Saren's, all of the implants that Saren has been getting throughout the whole, like, game, ends in this sequence where it's shown that he is just not his body anymore.
Right.
He is a series of robotics, because from the first, like, Eden Prime, every time we see him, he has more and more robotics, to the point where he's a Geth. And that's, like, it's the same as the husks that we see throughout the game, where they're not the people anymore. They're just this like raving, attacking beast. And that's just what Sovereign has been doing to Saren. And now it's that the first time we fight him, we're fighting Saren. And now we're fighting the reanimated robotic corpse of Saren, which is just this robot that's just like losing its mind and trying to kill us.
Yeah.
And
I don't like, that makes sense. I think I was just like a little bit fuzzy on exactly what was happening to Saren's zombie body. But then Saren is like moving like a fucking little spider goop monster.
Yeah, like
and
the
I Geth.
Like we've seen that,
like the Geth that we've
Geth
seen
movements. Yeah.
And I didn't like it at all. I hated it. I don't like the quick way that they move. I don't like the little zip-zops at all. Not a big fan. Truly not a big fan. But we kill him. And we save the day.
Shoots and kills Sovereign in a really cool...
really fucking cool. And crashes us. And then it's sort of like a big fucking dramatic search where the captain is like, Captain Anderson is like they're like searching the bodies for you.
For us, yeah.
And like finds everybody like bit by bit. And then eventually like you are the last one to crawl out of the rubble. Mm-hmm. Deeply concerned about the crashing. Was that it's not the Normandy that crashed, was it?
I don't think so.
It's
the
not.
Normandy isn't like is it? Yeah, I don't think so. No,
the Normandy is.
I think the Normandy is like decommissioned, but it's not. It's not like destroyed because I think there's post. There might be post game where you can then go and just do the things that you didn't do before. but I might be incorrect at that. Oh no, because you saw credits. I can't remember. But
No, that doesn't make sense. All right. Well, in Inquisition,
no, it's not destroyed. You could do that. It's definitely not destroyed. I just remembered. It is 100. It is fine. It's a completely different thing. It's like the exploding sovereign parts of that explode off, and then
that's
the whole
what
place
the explosion
goes.
Is. Okay, that's what the explosion is. All right, good. So then in this like, and the council's dead. The council's gone.
Council's fucked and dead.
But fucking Udina is alive, and God, I hate him. But he is talking to you, and he's talking to me. He's like, we have to start a new council. It'll be like, we'll have everybody represented, but like a human will be at the head of it.
Or like they're going to need us to rebuild because we are the reason that everyone was saved today. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, and is particularly.
The hope is that he's going to be like, I'm pushing for a human to be at the head. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And he is just like, you're the reason that anyone is alive. And it's very much the first time in this entire game that like I felt like, oh, I'm a hero. It was very much like that kind of speech. And then he's like, so who's going to lead the new council? And the choices are him or Captain Anderson. And I was again like, oh, fucking Captain Anderson, fuck you.
As pretty much everyone has done, I, for this run, didn't do that.
Really?
I picked Councillor Udina because Captain Anderson is not a politician. We need a politician for this. Udina fucked us over pretty hard. But if we are in charge, he is going.
Yeah.
He plays the political game constantly. If he's in charge of the political game, he's going to play it for us. And Captain Anderson is just not. It's like the choice between someone who's really, really good at politics, but might not have your back 100% of the time, or someone who is not good at politics, who will always have your back. The thing is, we've already dealt with what happens if the council doesn't have our back, but Captain Anderson is there. He's just like, we're just going to fucking do it. Who gives a fuck? I would rather someone who is hyper good at politics, and if he doesn't go our way, me and Captain Anderson are going to do it anyway. We're going to break all the rules and we're going to get our ship and fly off, than someone who will have our back 100% of the time, but won't be as good at politics.
All right.
That's where I'm going with it.
All right.
And as well, with Shiv being like, sometimes you just have to do what you have to do. She's like, there is literally no bad feelings about the fact that you grounded us. I get it. You needed it for your own political gain. We got it done anyway. Maybe she was swayed by Udina's like political gambit.
Interesting.
And was like, I know that you would have let us do it anyway. But you had to like put up a kind of like a guise of not allowing us to do it. But she was like, you're just a better politician than either of us are because we're scrappy fighters and we are going to do what scrappy fighters do. You're going to do what politicians do. And we need politicians if we're going to win this.
Wow.
Win this council war.
All right. You've like, I was about to be like, that's deranged. You're making a deranged choice, but you've brought me in a little bit. for Ani, this was easy. This was fuck you, fuck the council, and fuck and fuck you in particular specifically. I wish you had been on that ship. I wish I could have ignored your distress call specifically. All of you, like, this destruction, this level of destruction wouldn't have happened if y'all had listened to me at, like, any point in time. So I'm putting my man in. And
I want to say, I've never done Udina before.
First time.
Because you go with your friend. And it's like, yeah, I'm going with the guy who's got my back 100% of the time.
Yeah.
I figured you'd go for Anderson because it's Keith David.
Yeah. It's David. It's my boy.
Keith David.
and just like, I know that, like, truthfully, like, it feels like this game, just because, like, in our run of this game, like, a couple of things happened that I won't get into that were upsetting, plus I moved and, like, things. So, like, my opportunities to playing this game got spread out. Mm-hmm. But the game packs a lot into, like, a very small...
huge amount.
Game. Like, I feel like I think I said this on an earlier episode, but I can't remember if I actually said it on recording. But, like... right before the last episode that we recorded, our mutual friend and roommate asked me to describe the plot of this game. And as I was doing it, I was like, oh, I feel like I really have like a deep understanding of this universe from very, like, ultimately very little.
Yeah.
Like in terms of hours of game. It's like a 15-hour
game. It's stupid short.
That was like, I thought that was really cool. I think they really did a lot. I think there were some, like, you know, I like, my same feelings persist where, like, I would have loved a little bit more time with these characters, but I think, like, I see, like, because this is the precursor, it came out before Origins from the Dragon Age side of the coin, and, like, I see the evolutionary process starting to build before my eyes. Like, just more opportunity to talk to them, or, like, more opportunity to have those, like, little bantery moments, which, like, this game, the banter happened, I feel like, a lot in the beginning part, which I did think was good because it's like, in those elevator, you're doing all those elevator scenes and you're, like, walking around the Citadel a bunch. And so you just have all that opportunity for that. And that's, like, happening, like, as you're first getting to know the characters to begin with. And that's, like, that's fucking rad, I think. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, like, so, like, genuinely my only, like, complaint about this game is that I would have loved more time with my crew between things. And I know that that's something that's, like, on the evolutionary track for BioWare, because I know where they go. So that's fucking cool. What was your, like, overall feeling on this, having played it for the first time in a while?
Having played it for the first time in a while, I really... just, I was able to absorb more of the world just because of how we do this show. Like, I wasn't just racing through it doing missions. I was, like, writing things down, writing character names, writing, oh, shit, this person connects to this, and this person I talked to here, and this person I talked to here, and I was making sure I was, like, the companion. I was speaking to the companions every episode, and then I found out that you, like, Rex has a personal mission which can skip the Vermeier, like, confrontation, and shit like that. I had a really, really great time, and that meant that I knew how much I loved the Vermeier to end, like, whole sequence.
They killed for that
this time around. I was like, this is fucking outstanding. This yeah. is so cool. Mm-hmm. Everything is great. They like, you're kind of, you kind of understand the stakes. And it's like, I understand that there's like a big thing going on, but it's still fairly soft in the grand scheme. You hit Vermeier, get to the end, meet Sovereign. You're like, oh shit. And then you finish and then you go back to the council and then you're against everyone. And it packs an absolute killer third act into the game. And then you immediately go on to two, which is, I could not be more excited at us doing.
I'm so excited.
So fucking cool.
I'm so excited. That is how I felt playing Origins for this podcast, because even though I had played it a million times, the last several times that I had played it had been like a, you know, like I was playing it as a comfort game, like just kind of going through the motions because it's a story I know so well. And then like all of a sudden I was paying attention to it again and like really like giving it attention. So that's fun to hear you kind of having the same like parallel experience with something you already knew, but like going
but then
through
coming
it
back
with,
to
like,
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did just want to say, I did have sex with Liara.
You did.
I did in the end, because she kept. I even though I kept denying it. When you fly to Ilios, she's like, "Hey, so we're probably gonna fucking die." Liara is basically like, "Hey, we're gonna die. I don't want to die a virgin." And I'm like, "Sick. Let's figure it out." So then we did sleep together.
I'm on the clock for that.
These are my hours for the week. And you know what? There is a cruelty that we're gonna see to the romances in the Mass Effect franchise. I don't know if this hit Dragon Age very hard, but because Mass Effect was so popular, Fox News had its disgusting, icky hands all over it. You could have like same sex relations with aliens. Disgusting. So instead of it being gender locked, so it's like FemShep recorded voice lines to date every possible, like to date Caden, Ashley, and Liara. Male Shepard also had the same thing. So he also recorded himself with all the romance lines for Caden and everything. But then he's got the disgusting little hands on it, and then they like stripped it back. So it's like Liara is the only queer option in it. And they did the same thing for Mass Effect 2 and 3. Where they have a lot of, there's a character in Mass Effect 2 who I love. They were my first romance. Who is canonically pansexual, and shows it because it's so obvious. But they took away the romance option for.
This is just because I existed in the Dragon Age fandom for such a long time. I know who that is. I don't know anything about her, but I know who that is because
my favorite romance. I think great. Truly, it was my big romance in this game in the franchise because it's the first time I did it. I romanced them.
That's just by osmosis. And existing there. The rage from the community was palpable.
Yeah,
about that.
But I did sleep with Liara. I slept with Liara. That was it. It's a very, like, it's a weirdly raunchy scene of you two sleeping together. And I am still going to be a weirdly messy lesbian where I'm going to sleep with someone else in each game, I think.
Good.
Yeah.
That was the goal, and I want you to stick to it.
That was the goal, and it's it. So I'm excited for it.
I can't wait
to have a favorite,
Caden?
Heartbreaking. Do you have a favorite companion?
Do you know? Oh, I think it's Rex.
God, so good.
I love him. Especially in this, he had so many biting comments to make throughout this end sequence. Garrus did too. But Rex, you know what I think I love about Rex is that his character lines are so blatant. Like, he's just so like, no, fuck you, that's evil. Like I think he has this whole, like, there's nothing to lose.
I'm dead anyway.
I'm dead anyway. Y'all have taken everything. I'm going to just say what I think. And I love that. And he's so right all of the time. So it's so like, whatever. I just love him. Caden did grow on me for sure.
For sure, Caden grew on me. I'm genuinely pretty broken up about the fact that he's dead in this run.
I'm so sorry.
I really, really liked him. But I got the racist. She is... one sec. What? Because I spoke to her after, and I think she's weirdly fine. She's like, oh, it fucking sucks because he was a really good soldier and I liked him. But it was very much he was a really good soldier and I liked him. Like, as a person, because he was a nice guy, not I lost the guy I had a crush on, like, my friend, like, he died due to these guests. We need to,
because she doesn't have a heart, because
she doesn't have a heart, because she's evil.
She's such a bad person.
Yeah.
Oh, dreadful lady.
That's exciting. However, it's Mass Effect 1.
That's
the first one, baby. We're into Mass Effect 2 that I can't say a lot on because I'm going to overhype it. I'm looking forward to it.
I can't possibly be more excited. We don't need to talk about it. We're going to be talking about it in a matter of days.
Yeah.
2 days. Yep. It's going to be fine.
It is one of my favorite openings of a game. Looking forward to it. It's fucking great. It's so cool. I will. Do you want me to temper any expectations at all?
No. Give me nothing. I'm already where I'm at. I'm already where I'm going to be. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I am just very excited for just like the story to sequentially continue. It's not right after this, right? It's like a couple of years in the timeline.
So there's a weird thing where there's technically two starts to the game. The game picks up pretty immediately after. Like a few months after.
Cool. So very interesting to me to like just keep continuing the same story. I'm really excited about that and how that feels in a sequel versus like telling another story entirely in the same universe.
You are like the same person.
Yeah. And it does make me feel a little better about like the fact that I was aware that like Shepard, I didn't really give Shepard a lot of character growth.
Yeah.
I made her make the same decisions she probably would have made at the beginning of this. Like in the end there, killing the council, like being pissed off at the AI for surviving and not doing everything they could to save everybody. Like I feel like that makes sense because I have more time to develop her.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like I needed to be like, oh, she has a massive turnaround. Like she can still be that.
So this isn't a spoiler, but it is a cast, like a cast list. I'm not going to give you the full cast list, but I do want to, again, Mass Effect has an interesting thing where they keep getting celebrities to be in their game as, central people. Do you want to know who one of the central people in Mass Effect 2 is?
Yeah.
It's Martin Sheen.
Oh.
And he is good.
No fucking kidding. No fucking kidding, he's good. He's excellent in everything he touches.
Yeah. So Martin Sheen is one of the primary characters in Mass Effect 2.
I have a boner about that. That's crazy. That's so good.
No, it's fucking cool. Robin, his character has also too, already right? been talked about in the game, which is fun. What did you say?
Joker's still in it, right?
Yeah. Okay. Your boys are still there.
All right.
That's the thing about
my
this
boys
franchise.
Are still here.
It's okay. It's a trilogy. Your guys
trilogy.
Are still
my
there.
My guys are still
your,
here. Yeah,
your central crew, some people are going to like be living yeah. their lives. A lot of your boys are still your boys.
Cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Two's,
oh, I'm excited.
Mass Effect 2's primary cast is pretty significantly different. But you have some of your guys. I'm not going to tell you who, but you have some of your guys.
No worries. No worries.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. I was just, it primarily because Joker didn't feel like one of my guys, it was important that he's still around.
I am spoiler warning informing you that Joker is one of your guys.
The boner's back, gang. I'm fucking. I'm into it. Okay, great. Excellent. Yeah. Wow, I can't wait. Robin.
Hello, darling. What?
Normandy.
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 Crew. Gather round, you wretched pieces of filth.
Gather round the grave of the council. Because, truthfully... You exist.
You exist
because we demand it.
We allow it. You exist because we allow it.
Right, because we allow it. And
you will
die. You will end because we demand it.
Because we demand it.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
God.
Excellent. Mass Effect 1. That's
Mass Effect 1,
out.
Baby.
We are going to be... And next episode is going to be the prologue.
Prologue.
You will know when the prologue's done. It is so, like, it's you
very
get,
clear.
You essentially get your first mission and the prologue's done. Your first collection of, like, hey, you can go kind of do what you want to do now.
Right.
The prologue's done.
No, that makes sense. You'll know. Like, here's all your itineraries. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's sick. The fucking best. I could not be more excited.
We do.
I know we just closed out. I have a little list here of the canonical choices. Do you want to know, or do you want us to do that at the end of the game?
Let's do that at the end.
At the end of the franchise?
At the end of the franchise, we'll do all the choices that were possible. That actually is a great idea.
Yeah.
In our series wrap-up of all the choices.
We're going to talk about the canon choices.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Excellent.
Okay, gamers. We'll see you for Mass Effect 2.